Here's Pastor Brian as he continues this week's study.
Welcome to the program. This is Robert Jaramillo of Calvary Chapel Bible Ministry School. We are continuing Pastor Brian's study on the Sermon on the Mount. This week we are looking at verse 5 at the blessings of meekness. And today Pastor Brian will be looking primarily at two Old Testament examples. One, the example of Abraham from Genesis chapter 13, and two, the example of David from 2 Samuel chapter 16. So let's go ahead and begin.
Think about it in a marriage relationship. I mean, how is peace often brought? Well, someone's willing to yield. And when two people aren't willing to yield, just conflict. And I try and think about this in my own marriage relationship, and my wife wants to do something that I don't. Just like the other day on Friday, she wanted to go out shopping. I just didn't want to. I worked at the house all day. I was tired, kind of worn out. And she said, hey, let's go shopping. You want to go shopping? And my response was, I'd rather stick needles in my eyes. And that's what I said. And that's how I felt. I'm probably not the only one that's ever felt that way. So she was all bummed, and she kept asking me all day. And so I finally gave in. Now, I didn't give in with a joyful attitude. I went out there, was all the way out to Pasadena, drove through the freeway, and I was just bummed and critical all the way out there. And it just, I didn't feel good. I submitted and did what she, but I made the trip miserable. And the kids, they had to hear me griping and complaining. The only good thing that happened when we got out there, it was only 15 minutes before the thing closed. So I was redeemed that way. But I wasn't at peace, didn't bless my wife. And see, because I wasn't willing to yield, I wanted to do what I wanted to do. And again, if you live your life that way, it's always conflict and struggle and pressure. It's when you submit. And that's that wisdom that comes from God. And maybe you're in some relationships that are in turmoil, and God's saying, you yield. And you're saying, no way, that can't be right. That person did me wrong, and I am right here. And God says, if you're meek, you want to be blessed, I want to experience that inner peace that only God could bring. You're willing to yield and submit it to God. You yielded to God, you're also yielded to man. You're letting God take care of it. Let's look at a couple examples in the Old Testament where we see this taking place. Let's look at the life of Abraham in Genesis chapter 13, the very first book of the Bible. Abraham was definitely a man of God, and one that God had made great promises to. I've been pondering passage of scripture just over the last couple months where Jesus said, if you're invited to a feast, don't sit right next to the host. Sit at the lower end of the table. So if the host invites you up, then you're honored. But if you're sitting right next to the host and he pushes you down, then you're embarrassed in front of everybody. So we need to take that low spot. I believe that applies to ministry as well and the work of the kingdom of God. Don't seek the best spot. Seek the lower spot. Let God raise you up. Don't promote yourself. That's not a meek person. A meek person doesn't promote themselves and try and make themselves a reputation. They just take the back seat and God keeps raising them up. A lot of truth in that. It's freeing. It's freeing to live that way. It's definitely a blessing. Genesis chapter 13 and verse 5, story of Abraham and Lot. Verse 5 says, Lot also, who went with Abraham, had flocks and herds and tents. Now the land was not able to support them, that they might dwell together, for their possessions were so great that they could not dwell together. And there was strife between the herdsmen of Abraham's livestock and the herdsmen of Lot's livestock. The Canaanites and the Perizzites and the mosquito bites, they also dwelt in the land. And Abraham said to Lot, please let there be no strife between you and me and between my herdsmen and your herdsmen, for we are brethren. Now, let's put this in context. God, the God of the universe, speaks to Abraham and says, leave your country. Leave your father's homeland to a land that I will show you, and I'm going to bless you. I'm going to make your name great, and all the world's going to be blessed through you. So here Abraham shows up at this land, and Lot, his nephew, comes trailing along with him, who had no promise was given to Lot. It was all given to Abraham, and now there's strife. What would you do in a situation like that? I think our first response would be, Lot, get out of here. I mean, this is my land. God gave it to me. I mean, did God speak to you? Have you heard God's voice? Well, I have, and he told me this. And he said, this is my land. And Abraham could have said, get out of here. Pack your bags, get your herd out of here, and I'm taking the best for me. But as you read through the chapter, he says to Lot, you choose which way you go, and I'll go the other. Lot looks up. This looks like the best land. I'll take the best for myself. But who's the one that ended up under God's blessing? The meek one. The one that said, I'm willing to yield. You go one way, I'll go to the other. Because his hope was not in Abraham working out his plan. His hope was in God. God promised that he was going to bless him. And that's what we're going to be getting to here in a minute, is that we need to put our trust in the Lord, that God says, if you're meek, you're going to inherit the earth. So why have to, you know, clamor and try and grab all you could get right now, when God's going to give you everything eventually? So you could let loose of things, because you don't have to have them now, because God is going to bless your life. He is going to work out his plan. And in this life, you may have to take a back seat from time to time. So big deal. It's just a temporary thing. Don't get all worked up over it. It's really meaningless. God's going to work his plan through your life no matter what people do. And you can yield to them, and they may run right over your back, but God is the one that's going to raise you up and bless your life and fulfill his plan for you. And you don't have to worry what man could do to you. I mean, how big is your God? Is your God big enough to allow man to make wrong decisions towards your life and still work out his plan? Well, in the life of Joseph, remember what he said? You meant it for evil, but God meant it for good. So you need to have your trust and confidence in the Lord and his promises. He will bless your life as you live a meek life. Let's look at the life of David in 2 Samuel chapter 16. 2 Samuel chapter 16. And this is one of my favorite stories of the life of David. 2 Samuel chapter 16, verse 5. Verse 5 says, Now when King David came to Bahurim, there was a man from the family of the house of Saul, whose name was Shimei, the son of Gera. Coming out from there, he came out cursing continuously as he came. Remember, Saul was the one that persecuted David, traveled after him, and David was the one that submitted to Saul. And David had opportunity to do Saul in, but he didn't. And here's a relative of Saul that's left over, as David is king now, and he comes out and he's cursing him. And the context here is David's just been driven from his own kingdom by his own son, Absalom. And so on the surface, it looks like, David, you must be an evil character, because look at all these bad things that are happening to you. And here's this guy to make that statement, Shimei. Verse 6, And he threw stones at David and all the servants of King David, and all the people and all the mighty men were on his right hand and on his left. Also Shimei said thus when he cursed, come out, you bloodthirsty man, you rogue. The Lord has brought upon you all the blood of the house of Saul, in whose place you have reigned, and the Lord has delivered the kingdom into the hand of Absalom, your son. So now you are caught in your own evil because you are a bloodthirsty man. This was all lies. This guy was smearing David's reputation. Absalom's the one that's going to die here in a couple chapters, because of his rebellion against his own father. And this man's completely wrong about Saul. Saul was the one that was evil, demented by a demon. And David was the one that had had a heart after God. And here this guy comes out yelling and screaming, cursing, throwing stones at him. Remember, it says David's mighty men were with him. David's mighty men, they were so loyal to David because they connected themselves to David when David was at his lowest point. And all those that were indebted and discontent and frustrated with life, they gathered around David, kind of a rough pack, and now God has elevated them, and now they become David's mighty men. And look at what one of these mighty men responds, verse 9. Then Abishai, the son of Zeruiah, said to the king, Why should this dead dog curse my lord the king? Please let me go over and take off his head. That's the type of friends you want to have back in you, that are loyal to you. All David had to do was give a nod, and this guy would have been wiped out. Nothing would have happened to David, and he was a king, and everyone would have thought he was justified in doing this. Because you don't curse and throw stones at the king of Israel. And here this man that was loyal to David would have did this. He's in power to hurt someone that's hurting him. A meek person says, no big deal. I'm not going to worry about it.
That concludes today's study. If you would like tapes of this study or past studies, listen for the phone number that will follow or check us out on the World Wide Web at www.calvarylm.org.